All right, go ahead and turn your Bibles tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 20. 1 Kings chapter number 20. We do have some ice cream. I think Miss Deal made a cake or something after service tonight. Samuel's birthday is today. Turns 4. Got some goodies there in the back after service. 1 Kings chapter number 20. And they're in there in verse number 22 when you find your place. First Kings chapter 20, it says in verse number 22, "And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark, and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And he hearkened to their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. The children of Israel were numbered and were all present, went against them. The children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids, but the Syrians filled the country. There came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thine hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and so it was, and the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day." It's kind of a strange way, Lord, God brought this message thought to my mind. It's all kinds of different ways we get messages. I don't have a book I read from getting message sermon outlines. I don't have that. This is the book I read to find sermon outlines. So it can come in different ways. Lord will prompt your mind to think about certain things and study about certain things. And Lord prompted me to study about this last night as we were reading to the kids before bed. I've been reading through the scriptures, different major stories in the Bible, trying to make them sound like David and Goliath, and last night before last, 1 Kings 19, talking about Elijah in the cave and different things there, trying to make the Bible exciting for the kids. So I was reading through that, and normally I would skip over this chapter 20 because there's not a well-known story in there. But the Lord told me to read it, so I did, read through it, and there's something, a verse here that stuck out like it's in bold letters. It stuck out to me. And it's like the Lord said, that right there, you go study that. So that's what I did. Came here today and studied that for a while. And I don't know if it's for anybody else here tonight, but the Lord used it to help me. We've had kind of a rougher week, just different things going on in our own lives, and the Lord used it to help me. And I don't know if it's for anybody else here tonight. I hope it is. But if it can help me, I believe it can probably help you too. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. Lord's talking to preach a little while on God's still God in the valley. So this passage here, chapter 20, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. It's kind of long. But I want you to understand what is going on. The Syrian king, Ben-Hadad, he's been sending letters to Ahab telling him he's going to, whatever Ahab's Israelite king, Ben-Hadad said, whatever you have, your silver, your gold, your women, your children, whatever you have, I want it, it's mine. Wimpy whipped King Ahab said, okay, you can have it. King Ben-Hadad sends another letter, and he says, well, that's not good enough. He said, you send your servants and everyone in the households, and whatever they find, I'll take it, it's mine. King Ahab then wised up when he got some advice from his elders in Israel. They said, we're not going to have that. They sent a letter back to King Ben-Hadad again, said, no, it's not going to happen. King Ben-Hadad again sends another letter, and his exact words are, let not him. He sends and says, we're going to kill you for it. We're going to come against you. We're going to fight you. We're going to beat you. We're going to take all your spoil, take all your land. King Ahab sends it back again. He says, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. In other words, don't count your chickens before they hatch, is what he's saying there. So that's that. They're going into battle there. They go to battle. The young princes of Israel first. All 232 of them, not very many, leading the army against the large Syrian army. Scripture here says Israel is as two kids, baby goats, in the plains there, coming against the great Syrian army. That's what they're doing. So that brings us to the passage we just read. That's all cut up, the rest of that chapter there. The Syrians say, well, yeah, they beat us. They just beat us because they're on top of the hills. They're on the hills, in the high part of the plain. If we get them down to the plain, if we get them down to the valley, then us Syrians, then we can beat the Israelites. If we get them out of the hills, get them into the valley, then we can beat them. It says in verse number 28, There came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thine hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So because of their threat, God allowed Israel to win the battle, beat the Syrians, all to prove that God was God in the valleys, as well as God on the hills. God says, I'm not going to have that. He lets the little small two-kid, what the Bible calls Israelite army, kill the entire, I forget how many, 100,000 Syrian army that day, in one day. I read across that verse 28, and that's the one that just stood out like it's in bold letters. God allowed Israel to win just to prove to Syrians that he was God in the hills and he was God in the valleys. He was God everywhere in between. It's pretty easy Old Testament principle to relate to us today. I don't have to say too much to relate that to us. God's God on the hills. God's God in the valleys. I could probably say that and go home. God's not only God on the good days, but he's God on the bad days. He's not only the throne on this when the sun's days on the throne, when you can't, when the clouds are out. He's not only, he controls the easy days, but he also controls the hard days. He controls it when it's fun to serve the Lord. He controls it when it's not so fun to serve the Lord. God is God on the hills. God is also God in the valleys. And God destroyed an entire Syrian army just to prove to Israelites that that was so. If he can do all of that for just that one army, what do you think he's going to do for me and you to prove to us that he is the God in the hills and he is the God in the valleys? He's the God in the good times. He's the God in the bad times. I'm glad glad he doesn't leave us on our own when we're down in the bad times. He's God through the whole way. There are a lot of passages throughout the Bible I can take you to and talk about valleys. There's many other paths I could take of this. I'm just going to go with the obvious one. Song of Solomon. We'll turn there. Song of Solomon. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. It says in chapter number 2. Start off to read one verse. Chapter number 2, verse number 1. You know the scripture. It says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I just want to look at these two flowers here tonight just for a few minutes. I'm not going to take too much time. Look at these two flowers here. The Lord compares to himself and try to see what he's talking about. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Just a side note here. If you look in the NIV, it says, I am a rose of Sharon. I am a lily of the valleys. I'm glad I don't serve a God. I serve the God. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys. That's extra. It won't cost you nothing anyway. The first flower there, the rose of Sharon. This rose here comes from a good, yet seemingly dry root. If you study that rose out, Christ, at least concerning his human nature, came from a root, a very strong root. King David says in Isaiah 11, verse number 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Much like a rose, Christ, while here on earth, had some good roots. I'm glad we have some good roots we can relate to. God is not somebody just out of nowhere. He's got some roots. He's planted down deep, been here for a long time. God has planned Jesus Christ out from the beginning. It wasn't something he just came up with. He had roots. He had a plan, a lineage. Roses, Rose of Sharon, can be found in a lot of different colors. This year, the Rose of Sharon is mostly generally red and white, or a mixture of the two together. Song of Solomon again, chapter 5, verse number 10. It says, My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. That ruddy there just means red. Christ has his white, his purity, his heavenly nature, his pure, innocent, sovereign, godly nature. He's white, he's pure. But he also became flesh and bled and died for me and you as that red as well, just like that rose. A rose, as you know, is very strong, very sweet scent to it. It's unmistakable. It's not possible to notice it if you don't get close to it. It's in Song of Solomon 1, verse number 3, one chapter back. Because of the savor of that good ointment, thy name is as the ointment of pure poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Talking about Jesus Christ. There's just something about getting up close to the savor, just like that rose. You get up close, you can smell that sweet fragrance, and it overpowers everything else around you. You can't help but get it all over you. Once you're around it, once you're in a rose garden, you can smell like a rose garden. Get around Jesus Christ for a while, you're going to smell like him, you're going to act like him. You ought to act like him. The rose is useful. It's full of virtue. The Lord is excellent, full of spiritual virtue. The rose is called by some the queen of flowers. Christ is the king of kings. The rose of Sharon. Sharon there refers to David's fields where his herds of cattle were fed. It says in 1 Chronicles 27, verse number 29, And over the herds that fed in Sharon was Shittara and Sharonite, and over the herd that were in the valleys of Shaphat, the son of Adlai. David's cattle was fed in the valleys of Sharon. The roses of Sharon were there in David's valleys. Jesus, when he came to earth, not because he had to, but he opened himself up. Much like that rose is in a valley. It's going to get trampled on, stepped on by the cattle. It wasn't in a fenced around garden. It was open in the middle of the valley. where the cattle can get toward it. The cattle can graze over it, eat it, stomp on it. Jesus Christ came to earth. He opened himself up. He's born in a stable, born in a manger there. Lived 33 and a half years. Didn't own a home. Walked everywhere he went. Had to borrow a colt one time right in the town. He didn't own it. He opened himself up there to be trampled and stepped on and hurt if people wanted to. He did that because he wanted to for me and you. The King of Kings humbled himself down just like that Rose of Sharon down to the earth where everybody can get to him. Rose of Sharon was free. Like I said, it grew wild in the valley, which meant whoever wanted one, all they had to do was go out there and pick one. I'm glad Jesus isn't something that's planted, expensive flower planted in somebody's garden. He's free. For everybody who wants to get him, you can have him. You just got to reach out for him. Sharon there, like I said, was just a green pasture, a fruitful valley. Christ says we can find him in those fruitful valleys, in the churches, in the green pastures. Psalms 23, verse number 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I'm glad Christ is available in the green pastures where we can find him. I'm glad he allows us to rest there in the green pastures beside the Rose of Sharon. Although he is the king of all, just like the queen of all flowers, he's available to every one of us. Whoever wants him, he's there where we are. David says, like I said, Psalms 23, 2, make him lie down in green pastures. I don't think it's coincidence that Christ says he's the Rose of Sharon. He's the one in the green pastures. The rose of the green pastures. He makes me lie down where he is. Lord, to give you rest with him. He'll allow you to rest in the green pastures because that's where he is. I'm glad he's the God of the hills. I'm glad he's the God of the valleys. I'm glad he's the Rose of Sharon where we can reach him and get to him. You can find rest. You can find peace if you get near the rose. Not only Rose of Sharon, but number two, simply the lily of the valleys. Just before I say anything else, what that verse there says exactly, he says, I am the lily of the valleys. Lily, singular, valleys, plural. In other words, we're going to have more than one valley. We're the lily of the valleys. There's only one lily being in every one of those valleys. We may have more than one valleys, but I'm glad there's only one lily going to be there to comfort us. He's there in every valley we could be, and that's where he is. There's only one lily. This lily here has one of the strongest, lily of the valley has one of the strongest, the sweetest scents of any flower you can find. It's been said that its scent is so strong, it's smelled above the rest of the flowers. If you get near it, you can't smell anything else, much like the Rose of Sharon. There's nothing quite like getting along with God and Him coming alongside you and reminding you of who He is, wrapping Himself around you where you can't see anything else, can't hear anything else. All you can hear is the lily of the valley. All you can smell is the lily of the valley. There's nothing quite like getting up close to the lily of the valley. This lily is said to be very fruitful. One root can produce up to 50 bulbs just on one root. How more fruitful could you be than Jesus Christ from His work here on earth, from Him, the root? How many churches, how many works of God have gone forth from one root? He's fruitful. The lily of the valley is one of the tallest flowers. If it stood straight up, it would be the tallest among everything else. It would stand out among everything else. There's something about that lily, different than any other flower. It's the tallest, but it bends its head down. It grows straight up and hangs over. Flowers bloom and hang it over. Too heavy for it. Hangs down. Flower is the tallest flower there is in the valley, yet it droops down below the rest of them. Jesus Christ is the greatest of all kings to ever touch this earth. He's the most powerful, the most wise. He's the one that allowed all the other kings to be born. He's the one that gave every other king life. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Yet He humbled Himself down, like I said before, the Rose of Sharon. He humbled Himself down, came to earth to be born and bleed and die for me and you. Just like that, look, He could stand tall above everybody else, above everything else, yet He chooses to humble Himself down so we can reach Him. Why would He do something like that? He does that so we can get to Him. If you take the lily, if you boil it, it can be used for a lost voice. It can use its medicinal use for to help your liver, used for many different things. Jesus Christ is the healer of all things. He can heal broken hearts. He can mend broken lives. He can put back together broken homes. Yet He's not sold at the drugstore. He's found in the valley, just like that lily is, down where everybody can get to Him. And the hard times in those valley days when all hope seems lost, when you're broken and tired, I'm glad God's still the King of the valley, still the King of the hills, the King of the valley, God of the valley, God of the hills. I know some of you here have been through some really hard, trying times in your life, harder than I can ever imagine. Through stuff I wouldn't even dare to want to imagine. I don't want to go through it myself. I wouldn't want to walk in a lot of your shoes. But I know in the few valleys I've been in myself, the small valleys I've been in, times it didn't seem like there was any point in carrying on. I'm glad I could walk up beside the lily of the valley. I'm glad I could find the Rose of Sharon and find me comfort in those valley times. I'm glad God's there on the hills to help us win the battles, but I'm also glad He's there in the valleys. Someone else said you can't have a valley without two mountains. You can't have a bad time without two good times. God's going to take care of you. This is a simple thought, but I thought it was worth repeating. It's the water that you find on the mountaintops that flows down into the valleys to allow the flowers to grow. It's those good times where you can get those good, happy revival times where you get close to the Lord. It's in those valley times where you get up close to Him where we really need Him. I'm glad He's not just there in the high times, there in the low times as well. It's a simple thought. I'm glad it's right over there stuck out to me like it's in bold letters. I'm glad God's not just God of the high of the hills, He's God of the valleys. I'm glad He's not just God in our easy days. I'm glad He's God in our hard days. I'm glad He's there like the lily of the valley. He's down there where He can reach them. Humbled Himself down where He can reach them and take and use them. I'm glad God is who He is. I'm thankful for what the Lord's done in my life. I'm thankful for Him caring enough about me. Great God of heaven. Think about this. The great God of heaven is high and tall as He is, as great as He is, humbles Himself down and wants to know about you, wants to take care of you, wants to care for you, just like that lily of the valley. And thankful for what He's done in my life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today, Lord. Thank you for these people here. Lord, that's a simple thought, Lord. I pray you help somebody tonight, Lord. Encourage them a little bit. Lord, just keep on going for you. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for giving us. Lord, thank you for helping me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.